Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Our show is brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Don't forget to check us out on the web. Go to WFMD.com, find the Faith Debate page, which you can find it two ways. Go to the show's drop-down menu, and believe it or not, they're not ashamed to admit that the Frederick Faith Debate is one of the shows on WFMD. So we're listed on the show's drop-down menu. Or you can go to the weekend schedule, and you'll find the Faith Debate listed on the weekend schedule. You can click on the name of the show, and it takes you to the Faith Debate page, which Monday through Friday, the blog is updated by moi, and Jonathan updates his blog, which is linked to from the Faith Debate page, and he updates that pretty darn regularly, about as regularly as you're going to get from Jonathan Schweitzer.
Yes. The thing is, when I do update it, there's a lot. I put a lot on it.
Yes, he does.
There's plenty to read.
Yeah, it's not bite-sized pieces. Right. You know, grab yourself a cup of tea and set for a while.
Troy's is something that if you want to read something in the morning that's kind of interesting, then read Troy's. But if you really want to get into the deep stuff, then you are going to read mine.
And some other things that to keep in mind that are on the website. If you're wondering what kind of shows might be coming up, there's a upcoming shows guide that tells you what the next topics and guests are going to be in upcoming weeks. And we're not perfect at it yet, but we're getting pretty good. You can link to the audio vault from the Faith Debate page. You can go straight to the audio vault and just go down to the bottom. They save the best for last. Go down to the bottom of the audio vault page, and there are a whole bunch of archived Faith Debate shows there for you to listen to. I'm not sure exactly how many, but it's probably in the ballpark of, I don't know, 40 shows maybe are there?
Yeah, there's quite a few on there. And we don't have last week's show, but we're almost up to last week's show being on there. So we're
once we get really good at this, so I'm told, by the Monday following the air date of the show, that you will be able to hear the show like 24 hours later or 36 hours later, the show will be on the podcast. We're not quite that fast yet, but we're pretty good. Yes. We're better than we were, way better than we were, because we were horrible at it to begin with. Anyway, today's show, we're going to talk with Cynthia Calla, Dr. Cynthia Calla, no disrespect intended there, who is with LifeRise AIDS Resources. Give you a quick background, and then if there's any gaps that you feel are important to share, you can update us on what those gaps are. But Cynthia was a Christian missionary for a couple of years in Cambodia, going back a few years, and about coming up on 2 years ago, she felt a call in her life to start LifeRise, which, well, rather than me tell you what it is, this might be a good chance for people to hear your voice for the first time, and you can explain, you know, briefly what LifeRise is about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to say it's a real honor to be with you this evening. And LifeRise is about...
That can't be true, but we appreciate you saying
right.
it anyway.
We paid her to say that.
LifeRise is about reaching out to those who are suffering because of HIV/AIDS in poor countries around the world. And I started it in 2006, February of 2006. And so it's almost 2 years, and I was responding to a calling that I felt from the Lord because I had taken care of AIDS patients in Africa, and they were so sick, and they were so helpless and hopeless, and they did not know the Lord. And so I was crying out to the Lord, and I was asking the Lord, can't somebody help them?
Yeah,
and so I felt like maybe that was my role to try to help.
That's one of the Jonathan's tricks. You know, somebody in his church said, you know, I think somebody ought to like sweep up that corner every week. And Jonathan's like, oh, good. Why don't you go get the broom?
That's right. That you noticed.
Right. So you went to God and said, God, why can't somebody do this? And God said, okay, you're it.
Right.
And so at that point, you were already doing things in Africa. Is that correct?
Well, I was working as a missionary in general health ministry.
General health ministry.
Yeah, and then so HIV/AIDS.
Like medical missions where you take like shots for flu shots or malaria shots or just basic checkups, that kind of thing.
All different areas of medical missions.
Okay.
And you know, having village clinics or you know, running a health development project in different countries.
And so you would take a lot of doctors with you, or you happen to be a part of one of the doctors on teams that were already going out, kind of thing?
We would do medical teams, yeah. And so I would go myself, and we would bring other health professionals with us.
And the point is that at that point you noticed there was a massive need for specifically help with AIDS in the AIDS virus.
Yes, I was where I really felt the burden for that was in the country of Zimbabwe, and we had done a village clinic.
Wow!
In working with a local pastor,
I've actually been to Zimbabwe. Go figure.
Well, that country has a lot of struggles.
Yeah,
and
Botswana right next door is one of the worst.
Yes,
from what I hear in the world, I have some friends there as well.
Right, any of those countries in the southern part of Africa, very high HIV/AIDS. Rates.
Yeah, like massive need for like orphanages, because you have whole, you know, populations of children with no parents. You got grandparents, and all the parents are, you know, dead because of the virus, and then just orphans everywhere.
That's true, because HIV/AIDS tends to people die from HIV/AIDS when they're rather young, in their 20s and 30s, and so they have young children that they leave behind.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, when you go, maybe not just you, when someone goes on a medical missionary journey, is the primary goal of that journey just to take care of the physical need, or is it kind of a both end where you're taking care of the physical need and while you're at it, you're sharing the gospel and doing some teaching of how they can avoid getting sick? Or like, where are the lines drawn?
Yeah, what's the balance?
That's true. The latter part of what you stated, that it's we're trying to take care of physical needs because God cares about people and their physical suffering, but also to share the gospel. So, you know, because that has eternal value for their lives. So it's both, and it's an integrated ministry.
Yeah. So how do you balance that out? Like during the day, you do the medical part, and then there's meetings at night, or you know, like if somebody comes in. Are they required to, you know, like listen to a message while they're being worked on, or like how does all that work out?
We you know see patients, and then usually we work with a local church if there is a local church there, and so we have people from the local church, the pastor from the local church, who will talk to people, pray with them. Also, you know, the health providers as they're seeing patients, if someone has a special need and you have a special burden for that person at that time, you take the time to, you know, away from just dealing with the physical problems, to also talk about their spiritual needs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we do have meetings at night also. So,
you know, I was reading a fascinating book about how the Western world is known as being the Christian part of the world, and how there's a major shift in Christianity, in the Christianized part of the world, where the center of gravity for the Christian world is no longer in the West, but it's in the South, i.e. South America, Africa, India, Indonesia, you know, Southeast Asia, and that the Western world hasn't even caught up with the fact that that's the case, that there's, you know, way more Christians in that part of the world, and in fact that they have a phenomenal likelihood that they'll be very conservative, that they'll believe that prayer can actually heal somebody, that they believe that God is still active in people's lives, giving them visions, you know, and that kind of thing, that we in the West, all these mentalities that we've built up around our secular scientific worldview, that they're not encumbered with any of that, and yet there's still some major needs that are there, and you know, one of those is AIDS or sickness or other, you know, viruses. You know, what are we going to do to help out? What's your experience, I wonder, in terms of how open Christians are to working with people with AIDS? I mean, there's kind of been a little bit of for a while there seemed to be a big holding back about Christians working with AIDS.
Well, that's true. I think that the evangelical church in particular was rather slow to respond to the needs of HIV/AIDS. You know, there
Why
was.
Why do you think that was? Yeah.
Well, I think that. That there are Christians who feel like, you know, they have a harsh view, which is, you know, people deserve that because they've been promiscuous.
Right, and so that's the judgment of God. They deserve that. So therefore, we're just going to kind of stand back and let God's judgment have its way. And then we'll, you know, come back in and minister to people after God's done judging or something, maybe.
Well, if they ever get to the point where they come in and minister. You know, so I think that for 25 years that AIDS has been in the world, the Christian church, particularly the evangelical church, has kind of left that to the world to handle. We've said, that's not our problem, and we've kind of left it to them. And in that regard, I see us as being like Jonah.
Okay.
You know, Jonah ran away from the Ninevites because he perceived them as sinners who deserved, you know, God's punishment. So he ran away. And then there was a huge storm.
Right.
And where was Jonah during that storm?
He was hiding.
He was in the hold of the ship.
So that's us. We're hiding.
And he was sleeping.
Or had been hiding, right.
And so in the middle of that storm, some of the sailors who were fighting that storm came down and they woke Jonah up. And they said, you know, would you call on your God for us because we're perishing? And I think that's the case with HIV/AIDS. We've let the sailors who don't know God fight the storm alone.
Okay.
And they deserve credit for that.
Right.
The world deserves credit for that, that they've been out there trying to fight the needs for those who have HIV/AIDS. So it's time that the church wake up and respond.
So is the church waking up? Like, do you get the sense that that's happening across the board or, like, just in a few places? You know, I hear Rick Warren, you know, and his wife are significantly involved with this kind of thing. Like, how much do you think it's the church is waking up to dive in?
By the way, just in case you're not familiar, Rick Warren is a very famous pastor. He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, Purpose-Driven Church, and is the pastor of what is considered a mega church, thousands of members in Southern California.
Saddleback Community Church.
Yeah, and has been in the news a lot, but, you know, just in case you're not reading the same news articles I am, just wanted to, the cultural reference, wanted to make sure you know who Jonathan was talking about. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Warrens, both Kay and Rick Warren, have had a tremendous impact in helping to wake up the evangelical church to HIV/AIDS. You know, if you've heard...
In fact, weren't you just out there at a conference having to do with AIDS?
Yeah, I was out there last week in California at the Global Summit for AIDS in the Church that Saddleback hosts.
It's a global summit. A lot of people there?
Yeah, there were people there from all over the world.
Okay.
Including the First Lady of Zambia, the First Lady of Rwanda,
Very interesting.
Other guests.
Yeah. I guess I wouldn't have expected that. I would have thought it was would have all been, say, ministries or, you know, those that have been going to help out. But he actually was able to attract some pretty significant political leaders then.
And a number of the presidential candidates also sent videos, and one of them also showed up, Hillary Clinton. She showed up at the meeting.
Okay. And
Do you ever have people that are on the evangelical side of things or the let's say the Christian side of things at some level? Who are critical that at any level you try to share the gospel and preach the Bible as part of the ministry. We had a guest on the show a while back who suggested that, you know, we should just take care of the physical need, no strings attached, don't bog them down with our message, let's just take care of the need, that's the loving right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you don't necessarily agree with that point of view. Have you had to deal with many people who have that point of view, who challenge what you're doing?
Yes, I think there's extremes on both sides of that. You know, there are some people who say you should only take care of the physical needs, and there are other people who say you should only take care of spiritual needs and not worry about the physical needs because, you know, the spiritual needs are where the eternal significance is. And so I think, you know, it's most powerful, the gospel is most powerful when you combine those two, when you are holistic. When you take, you know, because God cares about people's physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. He cares about the whole person. He doesn't divide it up like we do. And so I think compassion, the compassion of Christ is most powerful when, you know, you combine those two areas.
Now, Christ came proclaiming the coming of the kingdom. You know, Jonathan, you're a pastor. Can you think of any examples where Jesus, you know, healed somebody who was sick?
Yes, I can, but it wasn't in the Bible. It was just recently. I have a friend who was just down in Botswana doing some ministry, and they came back with quite a few stories of God healing, you know, today, of very dramatic things, you know, blindness and deafness just very dramatic. So obviously, I believe very strongly that God is a healing God, that He desires to heal, and not just supernaturally, but you know, for us to medically or make available whatever knowledge we have medically, as well, as just a very important thing. I wonder what nations you tend to work most with. Like, how do you decide where to go?
How LifeRise works is that we partner with grassroots Christians. So these are
in the country.
These are Christians that see the needs around them and they want to respond. They desire to respond.
Okay.
And so we help them with resources to enable them to respond.
Yeah.
And so in AIDS, it becomes prevention, treatment, and care projects. By projects, I mean you serve a certain number of people over a certain time. And
prevention, that makes me think of Uganda, the Uganda model. Now, apparently they've been touted around the world by the UN as being the most effective country in terms of dealing with AIDS and bringing about a significant decrease in the number of people that were coming down with AIDS. Are you familiar with that particular model and the story behind that?
Yeah, Uganda was a really dramatic story of the infection rate coming down in HIV.
Which, didn't it like come down like 50-75% or something like that? It was very dramatic.
It came down from 15% of all adults positive.
Yeah.
To 5%
in very dramatic
decade of the 90s.
Okay.
So it was very dramatic. And when they did the research to try to figure out what that was due to, one of the most significant reasons that came down was because Uganda used a model that included abstinence until marriage and then faithfulness in marriage.
Yeah. In fact, do I understand this correctly, that the original, I was talking to a pastor from Uganda who works with several churches there in town. He was here in the United States. And he tells me that the original Ugandan model was ABC, that the A stood for abstinence, B stood for be faithful, and that the C stood for Christ. And that when the UN came in, the UN said, hey, you know, you got this great model. It's so effective. Nobody else anywhere around the world has got as significant a rate of effectiveness as you guys do. Can we use your model? And they're like, yeah, totally. So the UN came in with all this money to help them to continue their model. But then once they had come in, they'd already given them the money, this pastor says, that then they turned around and they said, well, you know, not everybody's so comfortable with Christ being in there. What do you say we use condom instead? And so they turned it from abstinence, be faithful, Christ, to abstinence, be faithful, condom. So literally the condom was replaced the Christ, which is very interesting, because this pastor says to me that I said to him, I said, well, so are you happy with the results? And they're like, no, all the pastors are very concerned, and we don't know how to get it back, because now there's so much money involved that the UN brought in. Nobody's willing to let go of the money so that we can return to what was really working, you know, the most effectively. How much do you find that that's the case with the UN? They just reduced their inflated numbers, you know, very dramatically from 40 million around the world down to 33 million, which is still a huge number. But, you know, there's all these charges that they were falsely inflating them just to get money for research and that kind of thing. What's your take on all that?
Well, you know, I think that what they say is the reason behind the change in the numbers is, first of all, that they got better at the methodology to try to determine, you know, estimate how many people are infected.
Okay.
And they stress that.
Sure.
Now, you know, you also might say, well, the programs are starting to work, too.
Okay.
So it's both of those. Probably the first one, methodology.
So there's reason to believe, and not necessarily be cynical, that they were just inflating the numbers, but there's reason to believe that they were trying to be as sincere and vigilant about getting that right as possible, and that potentially those things are coming down. I guess it's hard to say because you want to work together with those guys. You don't want to put yourself on the outs with them. You want to work together as much as possible with the UN, I would imagine.
Well, I think that, you know, I would hate to attribute some sort of, you know, bad motives to them, but yeah. But it may be true that they inflated the numbers. But I think it's more that it's very difficult sometimes to really estimate accurately because you have to, you know, look at what they call surveillance data, which is people coming in, say, to the hospital or whatever. And so you don't always have a population level of understanding of the infection rate.
So a certain amount of people come in seeking help, willing to get the help, but then the point is that that's only going to be a fraction of the people that actually have the disease.
Right.
And so it's a question of kind of shooting in the dark and saying, okay, what percentage does come in versus doesn't come in, and how do you come up with a number for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, it's hard to estimate in rural areas versus urban, so there are some difficulties in estimating.
So well, she's now, being very gracious, but I don't trust him. Anybody that's going to take Christ out and replace it with condom...
Yeah,
can't be trusted.
That's pretty dramatic. I know.
By the way,
it was shocking to me to hear that they, you know, actually would have done that. But yeah,
yeah. We've got a couple of minutes left. I'll let you. I know that Cynthia has a thought at the tip of her tongue, but I just want to tell everybody who you're listening to speak. Dr. Cynthia Calla is the executive director of LifeRise AIDS Resources. Jonathan Schweitzer is the senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel in Frederick. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. And now it was on the tip of your tongue. Hope you haven't lost it. You still have it?
Well, in general, I think the UN is much more interested in what we call what I would call a C-only approach, you know, condoms only, versus, adding the abstinence and be faithful in there. They talk about it. They kind of give lip service to it, but they're not as keen on it as, even our own U.S. government through the PEPFAR, President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. They've at least... you know, stood up for A and B.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the Ugandan model, ABC, and it's all about abstinence, faithfulness, which ties to abstinence in a sense. It's, you know, at least being monogamous, and then being able to remain abstinent and faithful because of Christ. Like, those things all come together, and so it works. And, I mean, it's no secret I'm a Christian. Jonathan's a Christian.
There's an internal logic to, to what we believe about those
things.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, makes sense to me. That works. That's the recipe for success.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, you've got some secular humanist type of organization out there that wants to take out all the elements that work and change them. You know, we're saying what you need a little salt, a little paprika, and some celery stalks, and you'll be good. Well, let's replace the celery with some bark, and let's replace the salt with some, you know, and like, they want to totally change the recipe and expect that it's going to come out tasting just as good.
Right.
And then it doesn't, and everybody's like surprised. And then the answer, of course, is to throw more money at it.
Yeah.
And that's a question, I don't know if we have time to get into it, but that is a dicey question. Before the show started, Cynthia and I had a chance to talk about, and she gets into ministry and she's, you know, finds herself needing to do a lot of fundraising, which is always the case.
Right.
And there's a great temptation to kind of go where the money is because it seems like it would make it so much easier. Maybe we need to talk about that, and we've only got about a minute left in the show, so I don't think we can talk about that. Do you think we can talk about that in a minute?
Well, let's just finish up, because that ties in with the UN, and then we can get more into the money issues, because there's certainly a sense, you know, with the UN that they're attempting to be the solution to world problems. They sincerely want to be the solution to world problems. The problem is that as Christians, in fact, I think at some level, this is part of the reason why Christians have been so slow, because we've kind of had this sense that the UN is running, you know, and the secular agencies are running the support for these things. And so as a result, we find ourselves like, well, I don't agree with how they're going about it, so I don't know if I want to get involved. You know, and so then we find ourselves hanging back because we kind of, you know, we feel like they've already taken up all the space. Do you feel like that's been part of the issue, you know, that finally Christians are like, well, no, we do want to engage and participate, but that we've been hanging back because they've kind of been taking up the space?
Yeah, you know, they have taken up the space, and it's only of late that evangelical Christians have even felt even moved by God to start to respond. So
sure.
We have a lot of territory to have to gain credibility.
Yeah.
And to be able to have a voice and engage in that arena.
Amen. We've got a lot of work to do.
If you two are agreeable, that's where we're going to pick up next week's show.
Great.
All right. We're going to put the Christian church in the whooping post for a little while at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that's good.
And then go from there.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, John Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, Dr. Cynthia Calla. I got to put the doctor in front of there. She worked really hard for that. She deserves the title.
Yes, she does. Yes.
The executive director of Life Rise AIDS Resources. I'm Troy Skinner, and our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Thanks so much for listening. God bless.